In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. This is one of the foundational Christian principles of Scripture, theology, and church tradition. We say that grace is an unmerited, unearned gift, and that there's nothing we can do to bring about our salvation. Because if there is a creator God who is eternal, perfect, and holy, then we, the creation, who are sinful, imperfect, and finite, are at this God's mercy. Thankfully, throughout Scripture, we see that though we are undeserving, God's desire is not our punishment and death, but our lives and our love. And John 3:16, found in today's gospel passage, is one of the most famous verses to articulate that love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, it says. We've probably heard this verse many times, and yet our familiarity shouldn't cause us to lose sight of its radical message. First, it conveys that God's love is extraordinarily inclusive. It's for the whole world. And second, it symbolizes the greatest gift that can be given. The love of the parent for the child is one of the highest forms of love. For the parent, the child's life is the most precious thing. So in saying that God gave his Son, it means God is willing to go to the greatest extent out of love for us, and so that we can receive this message of love. This is all very exciting. But then, reading on in the verse, it says, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Now we have to wonder if this love is as far-reaching and generous as the first half of the verse seems to suggest. Because while the gift may be given and available to all, it seems to say that only those who believe will be saved, which of course raises questions over what it means to believe. If salvation depends on it, it goes without saying that we'd want to get it right. And this dilemma has created great anxiety for people. It's motivated numerous theologies, doctrines on what it means to believe in the right way, and practices like immediate infant baptism. But is this what God intends when God reaches out to us in love and mercy? And what does this mean for our reliance on God's grace? In a way, I wonder if the conditions found in John 3:16 are more of a reflection of human fear than they are of God's intention. Perhaps we have a hard time believing that a love so limitless and unrestricted could be for us. And so we look to our own ideas about love and gift in their imperfect forms, and place them on salvation, seeing them as transactionary or based on what you do for me and feelings that come and go. Perhaps feeling a need for contingencies and requirements, we are the ones who made belief a necessary step, which is also a way of making it about something that we do, inserting ourselves into the picture so that we regain some measure of control and so that we are not totally dependent on God's grace. All of this is understandable because receiving a gift as big as God's grace is hard. If you've ever received a gift of which you felt unworthy or had nothing to give in exchange, it's overwhelming because all you can do is receive. In today's letter from Paul, we see similar issues. Like John, Paul speaks of God's incredible love. He says, God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Paul says that we are saved by love and grace, but then goes on to say that we are saved by grace through faith. This is confusing, because on the one hand, he's saying that salvation is a work of God alone, and that no one can boast of their part in it. But on the other, he's saying that it happens through the believer's faith. I don't know what Paul or the author of John's intentions were, but I do know how I've seen these verses interpreted. And often, though God's grace is proclaimed, ultimately, salvation is determined by our belief. But here's what I believe. If our salvation and God's love for us is up to us or contingent on something we do in any way, we're in big trouble. As hard as we try and as good as we may be, we still sin and fall short. In order to be transformed into anything more than what we are and experience a life beyond this one, we need God. But are we prepared to receive God's radical grace without contingencies and without exceptions? Are we prepared to accept that this love is for the whole world? Receiving God's grace may be the hardest thing a Christian has to do. It means we have to get in touch with our need, something that's especially challenging in a self-sufficient society. It means we have to receive with empty hands, just like we do at the altar. No doing, no earning, no bringing hands filled with accomplishments, just receiving with open hearts. It also means accepting the gift of our worthiness. In our world, we are perhaps most familiar with worth that is earned and sometimes hard fought. But the deeper spiritual truth of who we are is that God makes us worthy. And nothing we can ever do will change this status that God has conferred on us. We are good, we are loved, we are holy, because God has made it so. Though there's nothing we can do to save ourselves or become holy on our own, action does follow and flow out of our salvation. Having received God's love, we are better able to give it to others. Just think of the ways our earliest experiences of love and nurturing are formative for our ability to do the same later on. When we know what God has sacrificed and given to us, we want to follow in giving and serving others. And when we realize that God's love is secure, and we are no longer filled with anxiety over our salvation, we are freed up to focus on bringing heaven to earth. Belief and faith are not how we are saved, because that rests on God alone. But faith and belief are vital, because they are the channels through which we experience salvation. Faith is how we access grace. Belief is how we glimpse the eternal now. without the spiritual ascent that happens through our faith, that is the ability to see that which is not yet visible, or give our hearts to a greater spiritual purpose, we would never be able to imagine the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, much less devote ourselves to bringing it about. Faith, then, allows us to hope and work for God's desires for our world. Belief is also important, but not in the sense that we can mentally assent to things that happened centuries ago. Understanding belief in terms of an intellectual and historical focus is a product of the Enlightenment and rationalism, and was not part of the ancient understanding of belief. For early Christians, belief meant giving one's heart to something. It conveyed love and fidelity. It also had the sense of believing and supporting a mission and purpose. To believe in Jesus was to be what he was about, to give one's life to the movement of love and forgiveness that he initiated. Faith and belief are not things we should be anxious about. They are gifts to us. They are how we access the holy and experience God's presence. They are how we witness God's hopes for our world and then get excited about them ourselves. Believe and have faith, not so that you will be saved. That has already been taken care of. But so that you can experience the gifts of God's love and grace. May these gifts be realities in your life as powerful as any other, flowing in you and through you and touching all that you do. Amen.